1 Samuel 16 and 13 says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him," speaking of David, "in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up, and he went to Ramah." And I'll stop there. If you'd like, you may be seated. You might keep your Bibles handy. We are going to be reading from Samuel for a little bit. We're going to talk about David's progression. David is an awesome character because we're able to see things about David that we don't get to see in some of the other characters in the Bible. We see how that some of them did awesome things for God. We see some of the characters, we just get a glimpse at what they did for the kingdom of God. But with David, we get to view into his life. There's a lot of chapters spent on talking about David. And some of the other characters, we put them up probably a little higher than they should be because we see them in a glimpse that God used them in a moment in their life. We never see the downtime or the failures that they went through, the growth that they had to go through to become the man or woman of God that they become. But with David, we're able to see where David stumbled and messed up. We're able to see where we're reading along there, and David, how could you be so dumb? Is where when you're reading the scriptures, you just look at him and you're like, David, you had everything you could want. How could you give that away? But you see, with David, is we can all relate to that because there ain't a one of us that's perfect here this morning. And I think sometimes we read about the other characters and we say, I could never reach those heights. But you need to understand that behind those one or two chapters was a walk with God that went up and down. It wasn't always good, sister. There were times when you're walking with God that it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. That sometimes when you're walking with God, times are tough. And sometimes I fail God and I have to get back up. But that's part of serving God. It's the righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. You see, the difference between the saint and the sinner is not the number of times that we fail or sin, but it's the times we get back up. I'm not condoning sin, but I'm saying that when you fall, you need to get back, dust off your knees and say, God, I'm sorry I failed, but I'm not going to become a failure because of my mistake, but I'm going to step in the right direction. Amen. So we see the progression of David. First of all, the first glimpse, the first thing we see is that David is sitting there and Samuel, the awesome prophet of God, walks over and he pours the anointing oil on top of David's head, and it says that it ran over his head and down to his feet. And we know that the oil is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so David is anointed. What a weird way to introduce us to a character that immediately he's being anointed. But I want to remind us that today is no accident that you're in the house of God. Thank you, brother, that was leading the service. Today is no accident that you're in the house of God. The Bible says no man cometh to God unless he is first called of the Spirit. You see, it's not an accident that you're in church today, but God has ordained the footsteps of the righteous. God has ordered the footsteps, and God knows where you're going to be. When God called David, you see, it was before that anointing ever fell on him that David was called. You see, David didn't know it, but God knew it. God had a plan for David. So the story of David progresses, but it starts at a weird place because the first thing we see is we see David being anointed. But you see, the Bible isn't always in chronological order. Sometimes we get the middle part of the story and then we go a little bit further and we get the middle part of the story. And so the Bible is not in chronological order. You see, because when we go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 17 and 34, we really get the first or earliest count of David. What caused God to look down upon David? And pardon me, Brother Soundman, I'm going to do this as quickly as possible. The first count of David we see is that David is being anointed. And some of us think that maybe we won't have to go through some hard times and some struggles. Some of us maybe think that we don't have to go through the low times in our life. But let me tell you, you will. Because if you read 1 Samuel 17:34, you see David is talking to Saul. And in David talking to Saul, we see an early glimpse into David's life. How many of y'all have been through some trials? How many of y'all have been through some battles or struggles? Amen. If you've been serving God for more than a day, you've fought some devils. Amen. The devil isn't happy when you start making a progression towards God. The devil is not happy. And so we see the earliest count of David. This is before he's anointed. We see the earliest count in 1734. It's David speaking about himself to Saul. And he says, "Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came out a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and I smote him." And I smote him. You see, growing up in Sunday school, those are different things. Growing up in Sunday school, I always had it in my mind that David, watching his father's sheep, had a slingshot and he slew a lion and a bear with that slingshot. But that's not what the Bible says. He may have. It doesn't say he didn't, but it does not say that David slew the lion or the bear with a slingshot. In fact, it says that he smote him. Now, I begin to think, my imagination. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he smote him, but I'm thinking, what does a shepherd have with him? What does most every man in this day have with him? But he has a staff. He has a staff, because when you're walking in those areas, you need a staff to hang on to, right? You need to reach out and touch something sometimes, right? You need to. Anyone ever work with sheep? Anyone? No one? Oh, right here. Thank God. If you have never worked with sheep, thank God, because they're about the dumbest animal on the planet, aren't they? Am I telling the truth? You can herd cattle, all right? You can get a dog and herd cattle, but sheep are just hard to work with. I'm telling you, folks, we showed sheep one time. My sister decided we grew up raising pigs, and so I showed pigs, and that's pretty easy. Pigs are easy. You just give them some food, and they're happy. You give them some water, food, they're good. But sheep, you got to work with those things. You got to halter break them, and it was a disaster. You would go to try to gather them up, and that sheep, they would try to run straight over the top of you. Man, I can't tell you how many bruises I ended up with on my arms, and you'll have to get the Holy Ghost before and after you work with sheep. I promise you, if you knew what I was talking about, it'll try your patience. And so David is working with sheep. He most likely has a staff. And in my mind, I'm sitting here, first off, what kind of man doesn't go, "I don't need that sheep"? Let me tell you, if a lion come in and took one of my sheep and I had 100 sheep, I would think, how valuable is that one sheep really? Because I'm not chasing a lion down, all right? I'm probably not. Now, if I had a 30-odd-6 in my hand, come on, I'm here. Simba's going down, all right? I'm sorry, I'm good. But with my hands or possibly with the stick, it says that David is telling this story, and he says, listen, when adversity came into my life and started messing with the sheep of my father, when it started messing with the sheep of my father, when it started messing with my brother or sister, I want you to know what I did, Saul. I took and I ran after the lion, I ran after the bear, and I smote them. Now, I just have in my mind that he hit him maybe with his staff. Maybe he hit this animal with his staff. And then it says, and it doesn't specify which one we're talking about, but the very next thing he says, "And I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard." This is a man. We need some men in the church. You read the scripture and you see these men that are standing up for God. We need men to stand up. We don't need sissies in the house of God. We need men that'll stand up for truth and stand up for what we believe in and say, we're gonna serve God in my house. It doesn't matter what the world's gonna do. We're gonna read the word of God. We're gonna pray. Come on, I expected a little more some amens from some of the men in the house. We need to stand up for God. It's our job to stand up. It's not our wife's job to get the kids and get them to prayer and to say, come on, it's our job to stand up and say, come on, kids, we're going to church today. Come on, too many of us have allowed our kids to just come pick up the kids. You know, you need to bring your kids to church. You need to bring your grandkids to church and show them how to serve God. They don't learn by what they're taught. They're learned by what you do. And so I just have it in my mind that David probably smote one of them with a stick. I'm thinking if I got a stick in my hand, I'm not going to use my hands first. I'm going to make sure I get something over on this boy. I mean, if you go to a fight, listen, I'm not a fighter, but I promise you, if anyone ever brings a fight to me, I'm not going to fight fair. All right. I just want to make sure we're clear on that. I don't feel the need to go home with my nose sideways and bloody. No. Listen, if something happening, I'm going to win. All right. That's just the way. I mean, it doesn't matter what the game is. I am a winner. If I have to cheat, you know, it is what it is. You shouldn't have played. If you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough. So that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. Don't want anyone taking this wrong. But what I want to point out is that David is growing. You see, the first count we see is him getting this awesome anointing and God calling him to be king. And if we're not careful, we'll think that everything in the Bible is about the blessings being poured out and God putting the spotlight on me in front of my brothers and sisters. But you see, there was work that went into that calling. There was work that went into that anointing when he began to sing or when he... You see, there was some anointing that happened. There were some battles that were fought on the backside of nowhere, before there was ever a spotlight, before there was that anointing on David, there was some battles that were fought, and David upgraded himself. You see, David maybe hadn't used a staff. He had never fought a lion before. He had never fought a bear, but you see, he fought what was in front of him with what he had readily available. So many of us, we go, well, God, I'm not ready to fight that. I'm not ready to do those things. I don't know the scriptures well enough to witness or to teach or to do this, but let me tell you, God will never not prepare you for what he's calling you to do. God didn't call somebody else. God didn't call your pastor to do it. He called you to do it. It's your job to be a witness. It's your job to be a light. God wouldn't ask you to do something that he wouldn't give you the tools to do it. Let me help you out. You don't need to wait and study more or pray more. You need to start doing and ask God for grace and mercy to follow you and say, God, these are your hands. God, I know I may stutter. I may stumble. I may not do it right the first time, but I'm going to start today. I'm not going to wait 5 years because 5 years will never get here. Let me tell you, if you wait until you're qualified to begin to help God in the kingdom, you'll never do anything. David started with what he had. He didn't begin with an awesome anointing. He didn't begin when he faced Goliath, but he began with what he had. It was simple. It was a simple stick that he began. You see, we oftentimes go, oh, God wouldn't ask me to do something this simple. He wouldn't ask me to pray for that woman over there. There's been times that I was walking in the store or whatever, and I feel just pray for so-and-so, a friend of mine that I was thinking about. God didn't ask me to do that. Next thing I found out, they were sick or they were struggling at about the time God was asking me to pray for them. And I brushed off what was God trying to stir something in because I thought it was so simple. Let me tell you, the kingdom of God is not complex and complicated, but it's the simple things that allow, come on, those simple things put on top of each other. You watch a baby, it's simple for them to crawl on their knees. But let me tell you, it didn't start with simplicity, you know. We watch a runner run and we think, oh, what an awesome runner. But let me tell you, one day that runner just rolled over and their parents were, oh, he rolled over today. And one day that runner that looked so great and marvelous, he wasn't running, but one day he just set up all on himself and he didn't fall over. It was jerky. It didn't look good. It wasn't, but it was those simple steps that when put together, all of a sudden we've got this great runner that everyone is like, oh my God, But it's those simple things that were put together. And that's the way serving God is. It's the simple things in our life that build together a work of God. Great men and women don't become great in a day, but they become great over small choices in their life. They chose to pray. They chose to fast. They chose to read the Word of God when no one was watching. You see, you don't get a sermon when you get a microphone. Come on, when you pray for someone and they're healed, it's not because that's your first prayer meeting. It's because somewhere there was some prayers prayed and somewhere there was some reading done. And so we see, David as he is growing and he's progressing. You see, the next time, chronologically, that we see David is 1 Samuel 16:21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. Saul loved David greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Now understand, in that day, the armor bearer was a big job. This is the king that we're talking about, King Saul. Has seen David because of David's diligence and David's work. And understand, at this point, David has been anointed. And David knows he's going to be king one day. And Saul looks up on him and sees the favor of God on his life. And Saul sees the man and goes, that's a good young man. I'm going to use that man. And what does David do? David's been fighting lions and bears, and he's watching his daddy's sheep. And David's about as good as you can get. He's like, oh, I fought some battles. Now I'm ready to go out. Here the spotlight comes. Come on, I'm standing right here. Turn it on. But no, David isn't sitting on a throne. David grabs the armor. And he says, come on, I'll go out before you, Saul, and make sure that any of those arrows that head your way, I'm going to block them with this shield. Some of us need to get in front of our pastor and our pastor's wife and the leadership of the church, the lay ministers that help lead, and we need to say, come on. This is what we do so often, is we take the pastor and the pastors and the ministry team and we put them out front and say, okay, get out there, pastor. Come on, fight the battle for me. Come on, clear it out of the way. Make it easy. Come on, pastor, go get them. Go get them. I'm right here, pastor. I'm right behind you. I'm back here. You go get them now. I've got your back. I'm going to get it from over here. No. What we need to do is we need to say, come on, pastor, I'm going to be your armor bearer. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to begin to pray over my pastor. I'm going to bear that armor. I'm going to pray for the church. I'm going to pray for the ministry team, because when the enemy attacks, if you're going to get to my pastor, you need to understand, devil, you're going to have to come through me. You need to understand, enemy, if you're going to attack my pastor, you're going to attack my church, you need to understand, you're coming through me. You're coming through me first. You're not just picking on one or two people, but you're picking on the whole church when you start messing in with my man of God and you start talking about my church. And come on, he learned servanthood. We're talking about David's progression. See, for some of us, it's easy to fight. I like to argue, and my wife is kindly not said a real big hearty amen right there. I like to argue. I always have. I don't know why. Just come by it naturally. I would argue with just about anyone or anything about nothing. It didn't matter. I would just like to argue. And some of us can fight. Boy, it's easy for us to fight. You don't believe it, just marry someone. You'll find out how much you like to fight. Sometimes my wife and I have been married for 11 years, and about after year five, I had it all figured out at this point. I had it figured out. Oh, buddy, was I wrong. I think I found out that I don't know what's happening. From day to day, I just pray, Jesus, help me. And I'm sure my wife, her prayers are about the same, because let me tell you, I'm good looking. Let's just be honest here. All right. Come on. I forgot where I was going with this, but it started out as a good point. I promise. Some of us, fighting is easy, but serving, oh, it's tough. When they call VBS day, a bunch of snotty-nosed brats. Come on, their parents don't even want them around. That's why they're sending them to VBS. Come on. Y'all know, I'm just being honest, y'all. Y'all know I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth right now. Come on, you. Let me tell you, we do a thing at our church, that, and I don't know what happens around here, but if someone passes away in our church, the ladies and some of the men cook a meal and they serve the family. And man, I'm not a good cook. That's not my forte. I can grill a steak pretty good, but when it comes to cooking, my wife pretty much tells me to leave. And that's a good thing, I promise you. You don't want me cooking your meal. I mean, I can grill you a good hamburger or a steak, but you don't want me cooking anything, I promise. Or baking. I can really mess up a bake quick. But they do a thing where they feed the family and stuff, and I never thought much about that. You know, I thought it's nice that they did that, and then someone close to us passed away. And we were standing there in front of a casket and grieving, and we went back and there was these people smiling, saying, "We're sorry for your loss, if there's anything you need." Man, they just had mashed potatoes on a spoon. It wasn't Saltgrass or Steamboat Bill's. It wasn't Steamboat Bill's. Come on, it wasn't fancy. It was just some chicken that probably was picked up from United, some homemade desserts. There was some casserole, and these women and some men were serving us, and they were looking us in the eyes and just want you to know we're here for you. Man, that day I learned how important those people on that serving line were. See, it's easy for some of us to fight, but when it comes to serving, some of us need to realize that it's not just when you're fighting that you're serving God. Sometimes it's when you're serving somebody else. Maybe doing something you don't want to do. Maybe you're picking up the parking lot of the church to make sure that it's nice for our guests and our members. Maybe it's church work day and you're like, "Oh, I don't want to hang sheetrock again. I hate sheetrock, and texture and mud is of the devil." And come on, I don't want to help clean the church again. All those visitors, they come in and leave the Kleenexes, and those kids on the seventh row, dear God. I don't go to church here, so I can say stuff like the seventh row at my church. I mean, that's somebody at my church. Here, I hope it's nobody, but I don't know if it is either way. But y'all know what I'm talking about. It's hard to serve. It's easy to fight sometimes. Some of us just got fight in us, but it's hard to serve. But you see, if you're going to grow spiritually, you need to learn to serve. You need to say, "Come on, Pastor, what do you need done? Come on, I'll help out. If it's in the Sunday school, if it's in the main service, if it's teaching, if it's home Bible studies, I'll help out. Pastor, what do you need?" You see, this is a team thing. You see, this is a team sport. This isn't any solo work here. It doesn't matter how many three-pointers you get down. It doesn't matter how many yards you have at the end of the day. This is a team sport. We're trying to get everybody to heaven. You don't win if somebody goes to hell. Let me tell you, you don't win. And so when we're looking at our brother or sister, it's not a competition that I'm better than them. I'm just trying to be like Christ. And when you get that in your mind, you'll understand my person next to me. I'm not competition with them. When they're down, I'm going to help them up. And when I'm down, I need the church to help me up. So you need to learn to serve. We're talking about David's progression. And then we see the next thing that we see is that 1 Samuel 16 and 23, "And it came to pass that when the evil spirit from God was up on Saul, that David took an harp and he played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." You see, this is when David learned that music is a spiritual thing. David learned that music is a spiritual thing. You see, you got to be careful what you listen to. You got to be careful what you let your kids listen to, because the music will determine your mood. That's why it's so important that we pray for our praise team, our song leader. God, I pray that you would anoint them, direct them, that you would put your hands upon them, because when they get up there and start singing, it's not for your entertainment, although they can sing good. It's not so you can enjoy the beauty of the voice or the crisp sound of the drums or that bass thumping or that saxophone up there playing, whatever that is. That's not a saxophone. Trumpet. That trumpet up there playing. It's not just so, although we should sound good and we should bring our best, we should do all those things, but it's not for you, it's for Him. And so what they're doing is they're leading us in worship. Judah was always put on the front of the battle lines. Who is Judah? Judah was praise. And so let me tell you, when that music starts, it's preparing your heart and it's preparing the sinner's heart and the mind so that we'll understand and receive the word of God. Because without the foolishness of preaching, we're all lost. And so this is when David learned that music is a spiritual thing. You see, you need to get some music and some praise in your life. And we see David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. We see that David upgrades his weaponry one more time. You see, there's never a point, no matter how long you've been serving God, there's never a point at which you stop growing. Did y'all hear that? There's never a point at which you stop growing. David just upgraded his weaponry. And so we read, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. In 1 Samuel 17, 45, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and will take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcasses to the host of the Philistine this day, unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beast of the earth that is in the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And 49 says, and David put his hand in his bag, and he drew out a stone, and he slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that stuck into the forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. You see, David upgraded his weaponry one more time. We've always got to be growing. We've always got to be progressing. David upgraded. We see it. First, he used his hands and probably his staff, and now we see him using music, and then we see him being an armor bearer, and then we see him being using music, and now we're seeing him use a slingshot. But he didn't stop there, because I want to continue reading. Verse 50 says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood up on the Philistine, and it says he took his sword out of his sheath. And this is the first time we see David use a sword. He took his sword out of the sheath and he slew Goliath. He took his head off with it, and then he raised his head to the Philistines and let them know that their king or chief was dead. Come on, you've got to upgrade your weaponry. You see, this is the first, every time I think of David, what do you think about? You think about a fighting man, a man of valor that went out and won victories. But this is the first time he holds a sword in his hand. You see, he's been anointed. He's done all kinds of things. He's kept the sheep. He slew the lion, the bear. You see, this is the first time we see him with a sword in his hand. He was always upgrading. Watch this in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 8, and it says, and David said unto him, Ahimelech, there is not here under thine hand a spear or sword. He's questioning him. For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons, because the king's business required haste. And verse 9 says that the high priest said unto David, he said, the sword of Goliath is here. He said, it's behind the ephod. And David goes over, and for the first time, David chooses not to upgrade his weaponry. David says, reaches behind the ephod and pulls out the sword of Goliath. See, the ephod was praise. You wore the ephod was a garment that you put on when you were going to praise and worship God. There's some battles that you can't fight with your hands. You can't fight them with a sword. David was always upgrading his weapons, but this time he failed to go on to the next weapon. He failed to learn that there are some things that I can't fight with my hands. He failed to learn that sometimes I just got to come in and I've got to get on a garment of praise and begin to worship until the strongholds begin to come down, until I begin to tear down strongholds that I can't tear down with my hands. And I just got to praise sometimes when it doesn't make sense that I'm worshiping, but I'm worshiping nonetheless because He's worthy. It changes who you are, but not, it's an offensive weapon. Worship is an offensive weapon. You need to understand, you're just not up here dancing to show everyone you can dance, but you're dancing for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need to understand this is a weapon for the enemy of the enemy of our, he's not carnal, but he is might, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And sometimes you need to get praise on. You need to put the ephod on and begin to praise when you can't get the sword out and you can't get your slingshot or your staff handy. You need to get the garment of praise on. And you see, David didn't upgrade his weapon this time. And we see David go down. We see David go down, and I hasten to a close. You see, the thing that's awesome about David is when he made a mistake, he always corrected his mistake. In 1 Samuel 23 and 9, David realizes that he has made a mistake. Because you see, from the last verse I read until this verse, we see David is running from Saul. All kinds of things are going wrong. Everything in David's life is going wrong, and David goes, wait a minute. I've been trying to fight this thing with my hands. I've been trying to fight it with a sword. I've been trying to get my mind wrapped around this and figure it out. But you see, I can't figure it out. And we see in 1 Samuel 23 and verse 9, it says, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abathar, what does he say? Abathar, I made a mistake. When your dad asked me, do you want Goliath's sword? It's behind the ephod. I made a mistake, Abathar. When your dad asked me that, I should have grabbed the ephod on, begin to praise God. But instead, I've grabbed a sword, and for the next three chapters, I'm running for my life. I'm living with the enemy, and things are just wrong. Abathar, bring me the ephod. And we see that David puts on the ephod and begins to worship and begins to praise. And when he does, when he puts on the ephod, the enemy begins to turn. When he puts on the ephod, all is right in David's world, because let me tell you, there's some things that you got to put your praise on to fight. It doesn't make sense that I come in here and worship when things are wrong in my life, but sometimes you just got to put the ephod on. It doesn't make sense that I worship when my marriage is messed up, but let me tell you, there's some things you don't understand. You just got to put the ephod in and come on and praise it. My kids are living wrong. Put on the ephod. Come in here. There's some things you just can't fight on your own.